Do you need a smartphone to get that vacation snap of you next to the bean in Chicago? Welcome to the vacation edition of Flip Phone Diaries, where you can find out.
First week Flip Phone, the smartphone detox. Can you survive without a smartphone in 2018? Until the end of the year, we're giving up our smartphones for the first Monday to Sunday of each month to find out. This is Flip Phone Diaries. With Lawrence Warner
and Tushar Kelka. Him bait got Bowie banging in the tape. Big brick
Nokia, man playing snake. Tushar, welcome to Chicago.
Delighted to be here, Lawrence. It's been a long time waiting.
How's your 2 weeks in the city been?
Blissful. A nice chance to recharge the batteries and a good time to experiment about what life is like on holiday with your smartphone as a little tool.
Fantastic, dude. Well, in today's episode, we're going to talk about two main themes. Firstly, we're going to chat about the experience of vacationing with or without a phone. And then secondly, we're going to have our debate of the day, which is it time to get rid of Google? Now, I want to kick off with that question about going on vacation. And I want you to take me back to like the earliest vacation you can remember, or like a vacation from your childhood. Where was like your favorite place you look forward to going?
To going? Well, I mean, there's a lot of holidays going back to India. And as you can imagine, the 2G wasn't even available back then in my childhood. So like the whole idea of a smartphone was like preposterous in those terms of needing it as a tool to get around the country. In terms of what we've discussed about vacationing, I remember going back to the start of Flip Phone Diaries, I think back in May, when we were talking about what is the most useful app, or the one that I was looking forward to leaving the least. So I needed it the most, essentially. And that was Google Maps, as we said back then. And if anything, quite ironically, as this year has progressed, that answer is I've just stuck to it even more. They've launched a whole slate of new features specifically designed for essentially me, someone vacationing, traveling to a new city and doesn't really know what it is to try out in a new neighborhood, restaurants, bars, attractions, parks, all these different things. They've introduced new features within the app, and I would actually encourage anyone listening to give it a go, see what they think of it, and leave a comment in the comments feature online if they have any thoughts on what it's like.
There we have it, folks. Sounds like it's a smartphone win.
Smartphone win.
And please leave your comment about your favorite Google Maps smartphone win. So Tushar, I want to dive in more about your time in Chicago, experimenting with the smartphone, but I want to rewind a little bit to like the essence of a vacation. I want to like get a little bit of nostalgia from you about what you look forward to so much about the fam taking you to India back in the day. Take me back to 2004.
I mean, back then it was just a chance to get away from whatever it was, year four, year five, away from homework, away from everything, and just a chance to eat, like I think, gulab jamuns and like any assortment of Indian sweets and sugary stuff. So it was essentially escapism dialed up to the factor 11. And definitely a chance to get away from all the complications and the difficulties of, you know, trying to get through school and all those things. So that's what a vacation meant to me. Whether that's still the same, I don't know. It's an interesting.
So tell me about, how you approach a vacation today. So for example, you know, case in point, this last 2 weeks. And what was the previous vacation you took before this?
So I went surfing actually in Morocco, which is so yeah, very different type of holiday to going to Chicago and doing tourists.
Right. So we have a kind of nature style adventure break, and then we have a proper sort of city break. And you really did just dive into the Windy City for a couple of weeks. What was the in both instances? You had a smartphone in both cases.
I did have one when I was in Morocco. Yeah.
So what was your experience there? How did you find the smartphone useful, or what, you know, how did it impact your vacation experience?
So in Morocco, it was only useful insofar as it gave me access to music that I had downloaded offline. So going for like nice strolls along the beach, listening to music. If I was going out to a surfing location, which is, you know, a half an hour drive or something, getting myself psyched up in the morning, putting, it was essentially just a music player and a glorified iPod or MP3 player. I didn't need it for many other uses apart from a few videos and photos that I took to send to people. But I wasn't using it for all those like advanced features that people spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds on.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, sounds like you weren't really, you know, making use of it fully, fully making use of it. I remember, I think that, you know, the way that we vacation has changed due to the smartphone. I remember, you know, in the kind of early days of the smartphone, sort of 2009, 2010, there was this proliferation of like ads at airports, for example. Like Vodafone had an ad campaign that was really targeting, you know, get data that you can take abroad. And, you know, I remember this one that was just this entire board that was just this pristine white beach. And then there was just this dot of a woman lying on a towel. And then her husband next to him, just on his, like lying down, like clearly looking up at his phone. And it just said, Vodafone, banter from here. And, you know, I think that's the idea. It's just like, you know, they, what they were selling there was like, you know, you've got your WhatsApp chat with your banter with the lads, and like, it doesn't have to end. You don't have to take a break because you can just continue, you know, your day-to-day banter in life.
Sure. I guess maybe what's actually happened here is that we're so far down that path that when you ask me that question, that aspect of it doesn't even enter my idea of explaining what I did on my holiday. Like, yeah, like I had access to Wi-Fi, so I wasn't using roaming or anything. And I had access to WhatsApp and, you know, Messenger and all the things that come with it. And I didn't actually think about telling you about my usage of those things when I was in Morocco, because it's just so, at that point, it was so deeply embedded in my day-to-day routine of, you know, message in the morning or send some photos of what things are like back home on the family WhatsApp chat group, friends WhatsApp group, that I didn't actually think about telling you that this is what I did on my holiday.
So you're definitely bantering from Morocco then, weren't you?
Yeah, bantering and surfing.
Right on, dude. So, you know, that's the, that was Morocco. I'm interested in how your time, you know, in Chicago has been, how you approached that differently, you know, because it's a city, you know, you weren't just surfing, so you were more like trying to explore, and there's a search element there. I'm curious as to your experience.
Yeah, no surfing, although there was a few beaches, which I did not expect when I came over here to Chicago. No waves to surf on top. And I'm glad to report that there was very little mindless web surfing as well, going through, you know, Twitter or whatever, Facebook newsfeed, because Chicago is such an eventful place. You took me to so many kind of different places around town, beach parties and improv Shakespeare and the like, that I didn't really need to use the phone in that kind of mindless element anymore. That's something that I've managed to park away. But I was using the smartphone absolutely for all those auxiliary tools that enhance your vacation experience, in my opinion. Like, yeah, Google Maps is a great example. Staying in touch with the person I was traveling with, Zaim, making sure that we were like aware of where the other person was if we happened to like get separated or trying something out differently. If you're like exploring the art museum, for example, like rather than spending whatever $15 on the tour guide or the museum audio system, you can, if you find a new artist you haven't actually really heard of in the contemporary art section, you can have a search of him, have him or her, and understand, you know, what type of artist am I looking at? And those are things that go well above and beyond the usual vacation experience.
Yeah, that's sounds like it's really enhanced your trip. So I'm very happy to hear that. I'm interested in thinking that now I'm looking ahead to our next vacations and vacations that might align with First Week Flip Phone. So I can share that I myself have two on the radar. One, I'm headed to New York. So on Sunday, what are we going to be doing, Tushar, on your first day back in England?
Well, I'm going to be switching up my phone, but going back old school and trying to revisit 2004 or 5 technology-wise.
And you're going to have a different number, aren't you?
Yeah, because I'm having to use like a Vodafone SIM in this case. Boring technical details.
Right. Well, I hope your friends are sort of notified of that boring technical detail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guess you don't want to share it with our SoundCloud listeners.
The number? No. Well, the ones I want having my new number or the temporary number will have it anyway.
There we go, folks. If you need to know, you will know. Right. That's a flip phone win.
Flip phone win.
Sunday, I too am going to be popping the SIM out, keeping the number the same, but going to be trying a new phone this week, trying the new Nokia 3310. So Nokia re-brought out the phone. It's at a $50 price point. What do you think, Tushar?
I mean, not to be the stickler for the rules, Norris, but is it technically a flip phone?
Hey, you know what, buddy? It ain't smart, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. It is a detox, and that's what we're about.
And you know, I'm going to be taking the old light blue number out to New York, and you know, my mates just could not believe it when I said, you know, my friend Elliot, he knows that I've been doing first week flip phone for 5 months, and I'm like, he's like, oh, you can just get an Uber to my place. I'm like, no, I can't, mate. And he's like, oh, I can't. I'm like, dude, it's my time of the month, and he's like. Yo, you're not... What, you actually are doing it? Like, what the fuck, man? And he just couldn't comprehend the fact that I was, like, actually seeing this through, just regardless of what's happening that week. So, you know, I'm going for it. Yeah, I guess it's going to be interesting. Like, do you think it's going to, like, affect my time? Do you think it's going to make it harder?
Well, I think the one thing I learned from Chicago is you do need Uber and Lyft if you want to save money on transport or save time, just because, unlike London, like, the public transport system in this city and this country is just not really that developed for various reasons on a relative scale. Even, and it's good. Chicago is good by US standards. So, like, going to New York, I think I've heard it's even better. So maybe you'll get by with the subway. If you've got your map or whatever and you're aware of where you're trying to get to ahead of time, but transportation and navigation is probably going to be the biggest issue, I'm guessing, in New York.
I'm really hoping I can figure out the subway and make that happen. But no, it's going to be a great time. I'm staying with Elliot Levy. My boy Ashan is doing data journalism for Gizmodo there. And then, of course, going to be seeing the Shortcut crew in Manhattan, where it all began. Hopefully going to be meeting John Tilly, who was the OG Shortcut Pro, the first ever one.
Yeah, it might be a bit difficult for you to order your own Shortcut without the app, but I'm sure you'll find some workaround, right?
Hey, I managed it in the Bay Area. Check out my video, Seneca Pettis, cutting my hair on Instagram with my flip phone. Right on, dude. Well, you know, that's my experience coming up. You know, after that, it's going to be Mexico. Flip phone is going up the mountains, for Dia de la Muerta, for the Fulbright, National Conference. We're, leading a roundtable discussion on the topic of, who on earth doesn't own a smartphone in 2018. But you know, another debate that would probably be fun to run a roundtable discussion on is our debate of the day. So, order in the house. The motion before the house is: this house would stop using Google products. Tushar Kalka, which side are you going to come down on?
I'm going to come out against, actually.
You're going to back Google?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that means I've got to make the case. So, you know, Google is a fantastic company and what it does. It provides amazing services, starting with search, gets to know the consumer extremely well, and then tailors product suggestions towards them whilst developing fantastic new products. They make phenomenal profits. I've been the beneficiary of this, enjoying a free lunch in the Google's lovely campus in Boulder. But, you know, essentially that whole model is built upon the idea that the main value is in knowing the customer's private data. And it just quite simply is not a good idea to give up this much data on your own life to a private company that has incentives to abuse it. For example, they can sell your product preferences based on your searches and charge you a higher price for a product. For this reason, I'm making efforts to use alternative products. So for example, for search, I use DuckDuckGo, and for social networking, I use Facebook. Lol, no one uses Google Plus anyway. Over to you, Tusha.
Cool. So I'd like to start by saying I agree with you in principle. Privacy is something that is important in the modern day and age. But I think what is more important to consider is, are we consenting to the trade-off that is being presented with us, which is we give them valuable personal data that's not necessarily economically valuable on its own. It is only valuable when it's combined with the private data of another million people who are similar to you. And are we willing to trade off that data for free services? So the first point I'd like to make is that, how much do we actually value those free services relative to other free services provided? You've mentioned social media, Lawrence. Interesting study that I read about, you know, how do we actually put a value to these free services? And long story short of this paper that was published, which is like search engine is valued at around $20,000 worth of value. Like we can debate the merits of like the methodology of this study all we want, but that compares to around $500 worth of value from social media and like Twitter and Facebook. And I do honestly believe that when it comes to that trade-off between, are you willing to hand over private data for free services that you would have to pay for if you didn't, that is a trade-off that is worth it. Even if you do not accept that and you say that it's not a trade-off that's worth it, there is a second recourse, which is that you can get rid of that trade-off altogether. Google is very honest and open now because of regulation in Europe that if you do not want to be targeted by ads, if you do not want them to be able to monetize you, you literally go into your ads privacy manager and you click the no button. And that cancels all of this private data or their ability to monetize you by selling you personalized ads or marking up prices or whatever that they're trying to do with the algorithms that are fed into by the personal data. That short circuits the system because they have to get your consent to use your personal data in the EU, which I think might apply for a lot of our listeners at the moment. So in that way, we at the moment are enjoying the best of both worlds in that we are giving a trade-off to, we're accepting this trade-off, which I think is worth it. And even if you don't accept it's worth it, there is a way to beat the system, present it to everyone.
I'm intrigued about this supposed valuation on the search engine, $20,000. Do you have any idea whatsoever about how they valued that?
It's obviously there's, we can debate that to whatever end, but the point that I'm trying to make is that if we were to compare this to the trade-off that exists with social media, I definitely would not be coming down in favor of that trade-off. Because yeah, I'm of the opinion there is no benefit whatsoever to that particular free service when it comes to search engine and retrieving information. So I've actually tried to use DuckDuckGo as a free alternative when I was a year ago of the same opinion.
Yeah, shout out to Product Hunt who did a daily email that was all about alternatives to Google, like DuckDuckGo as a search engine. Yeah. What was your experience? So I use it.
So I tried it for a bit, but then I realized, especially when it comes to work, it's just not powerful enough relative to Google. Like Google search is its core, it's its bread and butter. It's been doing it for 20 years now, actually, as of the recording of this podcast. And the ability to find information from all sorts of different sources and organize it in a coherent manner to present it to you to be able to do it quickly, in my experience, was much better, definitely better than Bing and Yahoo search and DuckDuckGo is the latest alternative that I tried, and it didn't give me the information that I needed as quickly and as like functionally as I required.
Wow. Well, that's kind of been my similar experience as well, to be honest. It's a little bit disempowered, like it doesn't have location, for example. But, you know, I think those are the trade-offs that we have to stay in the face. Right on, dude. Well, I would love to hear in the comments if anybody has tried an alternative to Google like DuckDuckGo and if they've had any more luck than Tusha.
And not just in search as well. It's across the whole suite that they do. So, you know, browser, Google Docs, Google Sheets, Gmail, their idea is obviously doing everything that you could possibly want on a digital device for free, keeping you within their ecosystem, Google Drive as well.
So yeah, I'll shout out, alternative to Google Chrome, Mozilla Firefox is the best not-for-profit, respects privacy.
So we're actually using Notion to do all of our like note-taking and some of our spreadsheet analysis, so pretty useful. And the third one is Gmail.
Yeah, going to shout out Proton Mail, privacy first email that has its servers underneath the Matterhorn in Switzerland. So good luck getting into that, NSA.
Mm-hmm.
Right, dude. Well, next time we'll be over the Atlantic, but I look forward to it nonetheless. And I look forward to getting another guest back on for the month of November.
Absolutely. I will see you on the other side of the pond and on the flip side.